Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
He's Darryl Ryder. I am Danny Cunningham. We are filling in for Ken and Anthony right here at the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on 92.3 The Fan, and it is 9:43. That means it's time for Mitch Please.
All right, guys. As much as I loved seeing the smirk wiped off his face last night in Pasadena, I want to come to the defense of Oregon coach Dan Lanning for a bit. This exchange was during his post-game press conference last night. It made some rounds from those who didn't hear the question along with the answer, and they thought Lanning was making a dig at the Buckeyes.
Why do you think Ohio State struggled the way they did against Michigan, and do you see any significant adjustments they've made since then to get things turned around the way they have?
You know, sometimes it's not your day, and I think that was us today, right? It wasn't our day today, and it wasn't their day, you know, against Michigan. But, you know, what's unique about college football right now and this dynamic is you got to be playing your best ball at the end, and I think anybody that's watching Ohio State recognizes they're playing really good football.
I have no issue with what he said there. I don't think Ohio State fans should. He's right. I think that, you know, does Oregon win that game against Ohio State more often than they lose it? Probably not. But are they as bad as getting outscored 31-0 to start that game? No, that Oregon team is better than they showed in that first half yesterday. It was not their day. If it was their day, I don't know that they win, but I know it's a more competitive game than it was. Just the same way, yesterday was Ohio State's day. And the game against Michigan, whether it was not Ohio State's day because they had a bad day or because the coaching staff put them in a poor position to have a good day, or they're just scared of those colors, I don't know. But I don't think anyone should have an issue with what Dan Lanning said.
No, I did coming in because I saw the meme with the quote on it. But context matters.
Right. And well, especially in because context, he was asked about Ohio State in reference to Michigan. It's correct. Not as if he was at, if I do think it's a little bit different if he's asked, hey, what went wrong today? And he said, just wasn't our day. Sometimes it's not your day. It wasn't Ohio State's day against Michigan. Do I have an issue with that? No, but I can see how that could be perceived into taking a dig at Ohio State.
Yeah.
When he's asked specifically, hey, how did that team that just boat raced you lose to Michigan, I think that's a real fair response.
Yeah, and unfortunately in our business, a lot of times, the context of quotes gets lost. And in this case, when I woke up this morning and I saw the quote, I was like, oh, we're definitely going to talk about this. And then Mitch told me, hey, it was asked about, it changed my entire perspective of the situation. I have zero issue what he had to say, considering the question he was asked. But to your point, if it was just the quote standing on its face that, you know, I could get it.
I still don't think it would be that big of a deal.
He was asked about it. So, no, there's no issue there for me.
And I'm someone, I like Dan Lanning. I think Dan Lanning's a good coach. I had no issue, and he seemed pretty gracious as a loser last night. Like, I just had no issue with that whatsoever.
He took his 41-21 butt whooping like a man.
Yeah, he did. That's who he is. I really have a lot of respect for Dan Lanning as a coach, and I thought that there was no issue whatsoever with that answer to that specific question. So this weekend, we've got the last Browns game of the year, mercifully. We also have a Cavs game tomorrow night that I do want to dive into a little bit, Darryl, because it's the last game of their 4-game road trip. They are in Dallas taking on the Mavericks. They've looked incredible so far on this road trip. They've looked incredible all season long. Like, it's hard for me to say, oh, this road trip's been awesome, when in reality, it's the entire season that's just been awesome for them. Yeah. They've won all 3 games so far on the trip by double digits. They won both ends of a back-to-back. They've played 7 back-to-backs this year. They've swept 5 of them. They've been good in every single scenario. I am excited to see them take on and you know, potentially sweep a road trip with 4 teams that I don't necessarily believe all 4 of them are title contenders per se, but I believe all 4 of them think they are title contenders. Yes. But that matters to an extent. Like, going on the road and making that kind of statement, I think, is a really big thing for this team.
Yeah, if they don't win by double digits, I'm going to be very angry.
As you should be.
I'm kidding. I'm to a point with this Cavs team where if they don't win, I'm shocked.
Yeah, that's how it feels.
That's where I'm at with them. That's how well they're playing. That's how much they're dominating the competition. So, yeah, if they don't win by at least 10, 11 points.
You sound so spoiled saying
And
like you do. And I'm not saying you're wrong, because it is surprising when they don't win.
That's the point.
But you sound incredibly spoiled that that's the take.
Just like Ohio State beating Michigan 17 out of 20 years or whatever that run was, right? I became spoiled Buckeye fan. I'm becoming spoiled Cavs observer here, watching how well this team is playing and just how dominant they are, the different styles that they play, the different personnel combinations that Kenny Atkinson has been able to use, the way this team responds to Atkinson, the way that Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell are playing next to each other in a way that I, a year ago, didn't even think was possible. The way that Evan Mobley has elevated his game, which I always felt was possible, but I was starting to question whether or not he was ever going to be put in a position to do that. And sure. So, like, every question that I had about this team after that Boston series, like, it's been answered. And so I'm just like, and I think that maybe this is why the Cavs aren't getting headlines or the attention or whatever. There's no drama with the team. It's a great locker room of guys. You're in there after every game. I'm in there some games. And, you hear the fun they have behind the scenes with each other. The next media a post-game interview that can be conducted with a player that isn't interrupted by buffoonery, and I mean that in a very loving way, will be the first, because they spend their time, busting each other's chops. The Donovan Mitchell to Darius, why are you speaking so quietly, Darius?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Donovan Mitchell's answering his questions the same way that Darius Garland is, real soft and quiet. Like, but it's fun. The camaraderie in that locker room. I mean, they had great chemistry last year behind the scenes.
But not like this. It's gone to a new level, and I've somehow been doing this a decently long time. Not as long as you've been doing this. You're much older than I am, but I've been doing this for a decently long time.
By the way, that's a demerit for you.
No, that was a dig at you.
Oh, I knew what it was, but I'm holding that against you.
I've not been in a locker room quite like this one. And I've been in a lot of different locker rooms, clubhouses, whatever you want to call them. Like, I've been around a lot of different teams, a lot of successful teams.
I've not been
in one like this.
I've seen them like this, and really good things happen with locker rooms like this.
Yeah.
And that's why Cavs fans should be really, really excited, because it's not forced. They're not, they weren't dragged down to the Greenbrier to force them to like each other.
No.
Okay.
They willingly got on a plane to Sarasota.
These are guys that, like, they go to Cleveland Charge games.
Yeah.
Like,
which is a really cool thing too, at Public Hall. If you haven't checked that out, yeah, it's worth going to.
It's fantastic. But, like, that just tells you how close they are. And it's legit. It's not forced. It's not fake. It's not phony. It is just a good group of guys who are just really, really good at playing basketball, and they're just annihilating everyone.
And the most exciting thing, I think, if you're a Cavs fan, is I don't think they're done getting better. I still think that there are a lot of things that they can do better than they have. I think that this team still has a lot of growth in it, and I think that is one of the brightest parts about the future for this specific Cavs team, is that there's a lot of room for them still to grow. Like,
that's
Max
what's
Strus,
scary about them.
Right. Max Strus has not found his rhythm yet. They have not had their full rotation for a single game this year.
Yeah.
And they're 29-4. It's a really, really good place to be. Daryl, great job. It's a pleasure working with you. You're not in tomorrow, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, well, I'm back tomorrow. Thank you to Mitch. Thank you to Owen. Thank you to Anthony Lima, waking up early because he gets bored on vacation. And, of course, thank you to Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com for joining us earlier on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I will be back tomorrow. Talk to you tomorrow.